God has peppered his word with scriptures that are encouraging to us. They strengthen us. They bring joy and beauty to our lives. And sometimes it's real easy. The things of life can just get you down. It can just bring you down. And unless we take in the word of God and take in his presence, life will grow extremely dark and we will become, in a sense, deficient. We will become Holy Spirit deficient. Do you understand? Just as we become deficient in vitamin D or some other vitamin, okay, that would affect our bodies greatly, we become deficient of the Word of God. Our souls need that to be healthy. Our souls need it to survive. Our souls need it to grow. The Word of God. The Bible says, let the Word of God dwell in you what? Richly. Let it nourish the soil of your soul. Hallelujah. You can see, I've got this spot in my garden, one corner of it, where things don't grow too well. And there's a lot of clay in that section. It doesn't till up very nice. It doesn't get that real fertile, really broken up that the tiller can do for you, you know. But there are other spots in my garden that are well nourished. The soil is dark. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you gardeners, the soil is dark. And that is nutrient-rich soil. And you can grow just about anything there. Our souls are very similar to that. If we're not taking in and absorbing and eating the Word of God, the bread of life, the sustenance of everything our souls crave and hunger for, if we're not taking it in, we can become like that soil. And we can be hard and crusty, malnourished and deficient in many areas of our lives. The Word of God. Sometimes we get busy about doing. We get so busy doing stuff that we don't take the time or make the time to take in. That is really dangerous. And we would say to ourselves, you know, frankly, let's be honest here. I sometimes have a hard time sitting still. When it comes to reading, sitting still to read, I struggle with that. I'm much more comfortable being out and about doing things, accomplishing things with my hands. It's difficult for me to discipline myself to read, to sit and read. I have a hard time with that. But I know how important it is for my spirit to take in the Word of God, that I force myself, literally, I force myself to pray, to stop what I'm doing, to stop everything, get rid of my phone, get rid of my iPad, turn the TV off, and find a place I am alone, where I can take in from God and my hands do nothing but this. It is vitally important in the lives of believers that time spent with God, in this time we receive guidance, we receive strength. And let me tell you, we got a lot of workers here, all right, in Alabama. We got a lot of workers in the kingdom of God, but sometimes we're uneven. Our taking in does not balance our giving out. And you know what? You can't give what you don't take in. You are deficient. The Word of God, let it dwell in you richly. We have so many different things offered here, so many different events, prayer meeting and cafe and, you know, different places, different opportunities to take in. Take in the fellowship. How many of you know that fellowship is important? fellowship. Do not forsake the gathering together, as some are in the habit of doing, the Bible says. It's vitally important. The Bible talks about it. We've got to balance our giving with some taking in. If Sunday is the only time that you're taking in, you need to really think about that. You need to balance things a little bit more, because I'll tell you what, 24/7, the world is bombarding you with garbage, lies, deceit, trying to coerce you, driving down the highway, watching TV. We see all sorts of marketing. And this is what you need to be healthy. This is the next new fitness piece of equipment that you need to have a six-pack abs, baby. And that's going to do it for you for only 350 easy payments of $19.99. Okay? And they're trying to coerce you, trying to move you. This is what you need. This is what we've been missing all these years. That's what your life's missing, and you got to have it. And if you buy now, we'll send you one free. Right. Just pay shipping and handling. The Word of God, so important in our lives. So important in our lives. God wants us to be joyful, to be full, to be mature, to have a healthy, mature, spiritual faith. Amen. That's what God wants for us. And so when we deprive ourselves, decisions that we're making, when we deprive ourselves of the Word of God, when we deprive ourselves of time in His presence, we, in a sense, pay those consequences. And the place that we live, the Bible says, I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, the Bible says. God knows the place that we live. It's wicked, it's evil, but there's so much good stuff too, isn't it? Yeah? All the good things that God has created. Relationships. Don't relationships make life worth living? Really? Creation, all of creation, God has created such beauty. Go out and enjoy it. I love being out in nature. It is one of my most favorite things. And I'm not talking hunting. I'm not talking anything else but being out in nature. And we live in a fantastic environment for that very thing. We've got the Iroquois Wildlife Refuge. And I've lived either on or 2 seconds from the Iroquois National Wildlife Refuge all of my life. And I have taken so many hikes and walks and experienced the wildlife there. And it's like God is just speaking to me, just Him and me, you know, when I'm out. Like that. And just taking in the beauty of God's creation, the things that He has made. And I can see His hand everywhere. He's such an artist. He's such an artist. And he can speak so many beautiful things through the things that He has created. Take those things in. Take it in. In John 16:33, and we spoke about this last time, but there are times in this life when things are tough. And it says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Now listen to this. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And we're talking about God's practical prescription for peace. This is like medicine. If you take the medicine, it's going to help you get better. Okay? If you take in the Word of God, it's going to nourish those areas in your life that you are deficient. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. I'm going to start with the previous verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, or chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Okay? Let's just stop right there. This is giving the impression that we are living in a hostile environment. War. There's a war that's going on. There's a battle that's being waged on the battlefield of your mind. Amen. The battlefield of your mind. I think Joyce Myers has some material, maybe a book written, something along those lines, The Battlefield of Your Mind, something like that. Yeah. And it really is that very thing. It is a battle for your mind, for your heart, for your allegiance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a battle for your time. Okay. We can overextend ourselves to the point, because our hearts, we want to do, we want to serve, we want to help, you know. We want to do those kind of things. And sometimes we can overextend ourselves to the point to where we're suffering inside and we're given everything and there's nothing left in the tank. You hear what I'm saying? We got to make sure that we're taking in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the thing that sustains us. That sustains us. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. They have divine power. They have power from on high. They have God's power to tear down the evil stuff. Tear down the enemy's stuff. The enemy's strongholds. And the enemy will try to sneak himself into your life. Amen. With gradual movements. And he will get his foot in the door, let's say that, okay? He got his foot in the door, so that door is open just a little bit. And then pretty soon he pries that door open a little bit at a time. And before you know it, he's got his claws wrapped around you in a certain area of your life. We've got to always be on guard. Be alert, the Bible says. But the weapons that we fight with are not the world's weapons. On the contrary, they have more power than gunpowder. You hear what I'm saying? Okay? They have divine power to demolish, to tear down the strongholds. Praise God. Let's turn to Ephesians. Let's talk about some weapons. Let's talk about some armor a little bit here. Ephesians chapter 6. The armor of God. Finally, it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Don't go it alone, friends. Amen. We're never meant to go it alone. Amen. I saw this video clip recently. I shared it to my Facebook. I don't know if you saw it. And it was these big old turtles. And they had gotten tipped over. And so they're on their shell. They can't get back over. And so the other turtle would come and just keep nudging them until finally they would flip over, and off they go. It brought a tear to my eye, really, to think that even in nature, that these things happen, and we're spurring each other on. Don't give up. Don't go belly up. You know? Don't go belly up. And these turtles were just tipping each other back over, getting back on our feet again, as it were. Amen. Praise God. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on part of the armor of God so that you can stand. No, no, no. I was waiting for a little bit bigger response than that. Let's try that again. Put on part of the armor of God so that, okay, there we go. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil has schemes. He's going to try to infiltrate the ranks of your life. And he's going to try to get in some way. And he knows what your trump card is. He knows the weaknesses. I heard a story recently of a man that was talking with a brother. And this guy said, "Brother, one thing that I am positive about is that the enemy will never be able to tear down my marriage. That is one place he can't do it. I know it." And it wasn't a year that passed, and that very thing happened. The enemy had accomplished it. And so, be where you stand, lest you should fall. All right? Always be on guard. Always be alert. Never fearful. Never fearful. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Over and over and over in the Word of God, the Bible says those very things. All right, let's continue on. Verse 12. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world." Boy, that paints a picture, doesn't it? Rulers and powers and authorities, dark world. Boy, that's pretty vivid. In the heavenly realms. You see, it's talking about spiritual things here. Spiritual things. Now, I'm not one to believe that there's a devil behind every bush, but I do believe that there are things going on more than we would like to admit in the spiritual realm. And so if we are not adept to fighting in the spiritual realm, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. And the Bible, as we just read, so the weapons then that we fight are not worldly weapons. Our fight is not against our employer. Our fight is not against our family. Our fight is not against our church or this or that or the other or the government or... That's not it. That's not where the battle is. The battle is spiritual. And so if the battle is spiritual, we need to fight differently. Okay? In our lives, certain situations, oh, they'll bring us down and we feel defeated and we feel strung out and we feel weak. The battle is spiritual. Amen. Your strength comes through the Word of God, through prayer. Therefore, because of all of these things, underline it, we add them all up. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not if the day of evil comes, all right? Oh, it might come, it might not come. It's coming. Okay? It's coming. It's here. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. It's God's will for you to stand. We get knocked down. We get beat up. But it's God's will for us to stand. Now listen, verse 14. Stand firm then. Stand up. Get back up. Don't stay down. Don't allow yourself to dwell on the negative things. Don't allow it. You are in control of your mind. Don't allow yourself to stay down, though everything would tell you to stay down. Get up. That's what this is saying. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, holding everything up. You ought to be running from your pants down around your ankles. holding it all up, holding it together. The belt of truth.
There you go. There
you go. The belt of truth, holding it together, buckled around your waist. The breastplate of righteousness in place, protecting the internal. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. Notice readiness. Some version says preparation. We're ready. We're alert. We've prepared ourselves. We've taken on the armor of God. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Flaming arrows of the evil one. Do you know that the enemy has you dead in his sights? The enemy wants to take you out. He wants to take you out of the fight. All right? Some of this may be foreign to you. This kind of talk, this war sort of talk in Christian settings. But it is the truth. And it is the enemy will disguise himself and make you think that it is not a war or a spiritual war. My war is against this person. My war is against my employer or this or that. We wrestle not. Listen now. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, here it is, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. I got to read this last part here. I love it. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I pray that almost on a daily basis, that when my mouth opens up, when the opportunity presents itself, that what comes out of my mouth is displaying God himself, his word. Stand firm. So be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He is mighty. His power in 2 Corinthians, you don't need to turn there. 2 Corinthians 12:7. His power is made perfect in our weakness. When we are so weak, His strength is just shown so much when we are weak and dependent upon him. Amen? I want to interject something in here that is really, really important. Take time to thank God. Only. Many times, we're always asking for stuff. Do you find that when you pray that you're asking for stuff? God, provide this. God, help so-and-so. God, do this. God, do that. Help me here and there. Take time to thank God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Notice how that's first. Take time to thank God for what he has done. And I'm talking literally list some stuff, okay? You've heard the phrase, count your blessings. Name them one by one. That really is so true. When you are struggling, it changes your focus because you're beginning, as you begin to thank God, thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you for this answered prayer. Thank you for providing this. Amen. I just want to give you an example. I like to putter with vehicles and fixing stuff and building things. And not that I'm good at it, mind you, but I like to do it anyway. And sometimes those things can be really frustrating.
Oh, yes.
And it can make it the whole job just irritating, you know? And to the point to where you're spitting and sputtering. You understand what I'm saying? You're spitting and sputtering stuff coming out of your mouth, yeah? And I've begun the process. It seems like it's an ongoing thing, always, always, always. And I'm getting better at it. But here's something that I've done, and I'm continuing to do, and maybe it'll help you. When those things happen, I stop and I begin to thank God for the things that I have or the things that he has done. Okay? So for instance, let's just say I'm working on a vehicle and whatever I'm doing ain't working. Okay? And so I begin to thank God. Thank you, God, that I have the tools to do this job. Thank you, God, that I even have this vehicle to work on. Thank you that physically my body is able to do the work on this vehicle, and so on and so forth. And so what has happened is my focus is not on that nut that I can't get off of there or whatever the case may be, but my focus now is on God's provision all along the way, every step of my life. And pretty soon, from 1 to 2 to 3 to 5 things that I'm thanking God for. And I'm telling you, the effect that it has changes what's going on right then and there. Okay? That takes some discipline. It takes some effort. But it will help you. And it has helped me. Take some time to thank God for all he has done. Count your blessings. Thank God for answered prayer. Focus on what he has done, he is doing, not on the bad stuff. Because you know what happens when we focus on the bad stuff? It makes them look so much more big and powerful than they really are. But if we focus on what God has done, all that stuff settles down and takes its place under the feet of God himself, where they belong. And it puts things back into perspective. Amen. 2 Thessalonians. I'll race you. 2 Thessalonians 5. Or 1 Thessalonians, excuse me. I sent my notes to Bill the other day, and he had to correct me on that. There is no 2 Thessalonians 5. Okay, so 5:16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in most of the circumstances. Thank you. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. These are directives. Directives. Be joyful. Pray all the time. Give thanks in every situation. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Let his spirit wash over you. And let the fear, let the anger, let the frustration, let the fatigue just wash away. Let it wash away as you focus on your God, on your King, on your Savior. Let all those things that you're worrying about and you're concerned about, let them take their place. Let them settle themselves under the feet of Christ Jesus our Lord. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I think what I would like to do, I've already started it, Dawn has helped me with it, created a sheet that is listing all of these scriptures for you. And I want to be able to give that to you within the next week. Maybe I'll have that for you next week or at the end of the series here. But so that you can look back on these things, these scriptures, so that you already have them at your disposal as a prescription, as medicine for your soul. Okay? Pray that we can accomplish that and get that done and make that available to you. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. This hope in Jesus, we have as an anchor for our soul. We did Bliss years ago. That was one of the themes. This hope we have as an anchor for our soul. You know what the purpose of the anchor is? It's to keep the ship safe in the harbor. Because when the waves come up, if that anchor doesn't hold, it sucks the ship out into the open sea and it sinks and it's tossed. The anchor keeps the ship in places where it's peaceful and it's safe. This hope, this faith we have in Christ Jesus is that anchor, and it holds us in places of peace. No matter what's going on around us, it holds us in places of peace. Amen?
Amen.
Does that create a visual for you? You know, some of us like to watch Deadliest Catch. Man, I'm telling you what, those guys are nuts. They are crazy. I would much prefer my feet on solid ground where I'm safe. Those guys, man, are risking their lives all day, every day, you know? But when there's waves sometimes that are 40 feet, and you see the ship just goes just like that, and I can't imagine that. I don't think I could handle that. But you see when they come in and they're offloading all of their catch, it's calm and it's beautiful in that harbor. It's gorgeous. And the harbor is protected by a land mass, if you will, that keeps the large waves out. It protects what's in there. And the anchor is to keep the ship safe in the harbor, close to the shore. Amen? This hope we have as an anchor for our souls. And I want to end with this scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side. Hard pressed. But we're not crushed. We're perplexed. We're confused. But we're not in despair. We're not hopeless. We are persecuted. But we're not abandoned. Remember the picture of the footprints in the sand. How we talked about that. We're not abandoned. God has not left us in the midst of the battle and the hardest times, and we only see one set of footprints there. It was during those times that God Himself has carried us through, because we couldn't walk. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. We are displaying who God is in our own lives. Bill, if you could make your way to the piano. We are displaying in our lives God Himself. He is using us to show the world, our little world, You know, our circle of influence, he is showing himself to people around us as we persevere. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life, here it is, his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So we are mirroring Jesus Christ. We are pointing others to Jesus Christ as we suffer, as we excel, as we succeed, as we cry, as we laugh. All of these things are displaying who God is. Amen. And we are his workmanship, the Bible says, created for good works in Christ Jesus. It is written, verse 13, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore speak. We're not silent, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may do this one thing, that it may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, here it is again. Add these things up, this and this and this and this. And we're putting the underline. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day by the grace of God. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. That our eternal glory far outweighs the temporal problems that we're having. And listen to this. Would you stand with me today? So in response to all of these things, listen to this. So we fix our eyes on not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What we see around us is temporary, but what is unseen is forever. Do you understand? Do not allow these light and momentary, temporary problems to be the focus of your life. Do not allow them to become bigger than they are. We can do all things, as we learned last week, through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. He is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I'm ending a little bit early today. I wanted to give you the opportunity to come. Maybe there are some things in your life that you have been fretting about and scared about. Maybe there's some things in your life that you're hurting and you're tired of fighting the same battle over and over. And you feel weak, you feel discouraged, and your gaze is down at the ground. God would say to you today, lift up your gaze today. Get your eyes off of the ground. Don't you walk around like a defeated person. That is not who I created you to be. That is not who God has created us to be. And I just love that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11-12. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. God's got plans for you. Plans to prosper you. Not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God's got great things in store for you. Just hold on to Jesus. I want to give you the opportunity today to come and lay down some of these burdens that you've been carrying around. God is not speaking to us this series for naught. There is a purpose in it. God's desire is to shoulder some of the load that you have been carrying. Do you understand? We need to lay it down, though. Would you come today? Come to the altar and lay it down. Whatever the case may be, maybe you're saying in your head, I've done that before. I've already done that. I've prayed countless prayers about this very same thing. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. We've all been there. We've all been there. And so, in a sense, we would retain it. I'm not giving it to you anymore because you're not doing what I want you to do with it. And so we hold it back from God. And when we do that, he can't do anything. We've got to relinquish. We've got to submit. We've got to lay it down, even if we have to keep doing it over and over and over and over. Take this opportunity and lay it down one more time. One more time. The Bible says if we have faith as small as a tiny mustard seed, we can speak to this mountain and be it removed and thrown into the sea. That's hard for our minds to conceive. But we're talking spiritual battles here, aren't we? We're talking spiritual battles here. Come as we sing and lay them down before God, who is able to take them and answer them as he sees fit. Amen. Come.